second read.
Good morning. Good to see all of you. Right many more than we saw last week, wasn't it? Let's take our Bibles. Probably one of the most familiar books of the Bible to most of us is probably the Gospel of John. So if you'll turn there to John chapter 8.
There we go.
See?
Me. I got it.
Right. There we go.
John chapter 8. And we will look at a good many verses in this chapter, not all of them. I wish we had that luxury. But enough to help us understand and identify and see where we are, each one of us for ourselves, in regard to faith in Christ. So I have given this the title of Counterfeit Faith. The majority of the professing denominations and churches in the Christian religion are actually in false religion, just like I was. Grew up in a Baptist church much like this one, and the gospel had already left that place. I was born in 1943. And the things that I see in the Bible now, just what little bit I can recall from boyhood days all the way to a young man, just, it is incredible. Absolutely incredible. Now, before we tackle this, you just hold on to John 8. And try to do so the whole time, and we'll not be far from it. Let us have prayer and then beg the Lord to visit us today in this place. Where does God presence Himself? It ain't where people are making a lot of noise. That is as bogus as a $3 bill. It just doesn't fly. I want you to try to make an honest assessment of what you hear from week to week in this place. And if your soul has benefited by it. Because there are two kinds of believing. One is false and the other is true. Let us beg the Lord now to help us. Lord, thank You for letting us gather in this place this day. How wonderful the language of these hymns. How difficult it is in our generation to find any of the hymn writers still in existence that wrote these grand old hymns of years gone by. But Lord, we can do with songs or without songs, but we cannot do without Christ. We must have Christ. All of Him. All the time. It's Christ this Sunday and Christ Wednesday night and Christ next Sunday and all the Wednesdays and Sundays after that. Lord, You must come in the precious power of Your Holy Spirit and speak these glorious words concerning our Savior to our poor souls, enabling us to receive them, to rejoice in them, and to bless and praise Your name for giving them. Guide our thoughts and our steps as we proceed. May all that is said and done in this place this day be to the honor and glory of the Triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, in order to properly understand the verses that I'm going to spend the most time on, which I won't tell you what they are. You'll be looking over and reading ahead of me. But it'll be in the 30s. But without this first introduction, beginning at verse 12, I wish I had time to go back into the woman that was caught in the act of adultery and they dragged her into the temple complex where our Lord was teaching and tried to trap Him into saying she is to be stoned according to the law of Moses. But their scheme backfired when our Lord, I don't know what He wrote on the ground, but He wrote twice. And I suspect, though I could be altogether wrong, so don't believe me just because I said it, I suspect that our Lord wrote some very revealing words in that sand. And then He asked for the person among them that wanted this woman stoned, who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And I think that's what that writing was about. I may be wrong. Verse 12, John chapter 5, chapter 8. Then spoke Jesus again unto them, saying, this again means that there must have been something said already, and indeed there was, and particularly to the scribes and Pharisees. So He spoke unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. Now, ladies and gentlemen, for one to declare himself to be the light of the world, He has to be God. Has to be. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, you bear record of yourself. Your record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know from where I came and where I go, but you cannot tell from where I've come and where I go. You judge after the flesh. And our Lord says, I judge no man, but He's not finished with that statement now, that I judge no man. For He says in verse 16, and yet, if I judge, my judgment is just. I'm sorry, my judgment is true. For I'm not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is your Father? Our Lord answered and said, You neither know me nor my Father. For if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. These words spoke Jesus in the treasury, that is, in one of the courtyards that surround the main part of the temple back in those days before the Romans demolished it in AD 70. Our Lord spoke in the treasury. As He taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on Him, for His hour was not yet come. The time for which He would be to go to the cross has not yet arrived. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and you shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Where I go, you cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he said, Where I go, you cannot come. And he said unto them, You are from beneath. That don't mean on this earth. It goes deeper than that. He's talking about the devil and hell. You are from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, leaving off the italicized word, if you believe not that I am, the word he is italicized, it was added by the translators and they often were a little too zealous with their additions. If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins. Now there's a lot of ways to die. But this is one way to die that you don't want. To die in our sins. Then in verse 25 said they unto him, Who are you? And Jesus said to them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I've heard of him. They understood not that he spoke to them of the Father, that is, God the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am. Once again, the word he is added, but it's in italics. This is one of the most honest translations there is ever to this day to tell us that that word was not in the original. It is italicized. And there are a lot of words in our Bibles that are italicized. When you've lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. You remember when Moses was at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3? None other than the Lord Jesus was in that bush. None other than He. And He that sent me... Did I stop with 28 or where? How far did I get? Huh? All right, so 29 is the right one. All right. And He that sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I do always those things that please Him. And as he spoke these words, here's when I need both of your ears and, well, if you've got a Bible, and both of your eyes. Don't look at this crude face and all that stuff up here, but this is what I'm trying to get to. Beginning at verse 30. As he spoke these words, many believed on him. That's on Christ. But I'm going to prove to you, before we go very many verses more, that this is not, these people are not believers. They do not indeed believe and trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, what they call faith is nothing more than a counterfeit. It isn't real. It doesn't have the right object, namely God and in Christ. So immediately upon this statement in verse 31, 30 and 31, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. On Him. Now, some of you have heard of a fellow named Charles Spurgeon that died in 1892 or 3, I can't remember. But probably one of the greatest preachers of all time. Said about this verse, this believing on Christ, that these words should not indeed be in this. It's not italicized. But it is translated this way, and he says it should not have been. And I trust his judgment a lot better than I do my own. But I'm going to, without using these two words in this verse, I'm going to show you in just two or three verses and make it conclusive that what these people thought was faith is nothing but a counterfeit. It isn't genuine. It isn't true. It isn't God-given. All right, in verse 31, after it says, which believed on Him, He said, if you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed. Indeed. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they get all up in arms. What do you mean free? We ain't never been anything but free. And if you know anything of the Old Testament, you know that ain't so. You shall know the truth, verse 32, and the truth shall make you free. Now they've lost all manners and control, and they answered Him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. And every one of these people saying this knew at that exact second that they were lying. The Romans controlled the Jews. They let them play their little game of religion without much interference. But they don't know God. They think they do, but they don't. We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. My heavens, If there's any time in this world that you need to leave all the falsehoods out the door, it's when you're talking to the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Son. These people just think they can buffalo anybody, even God. And there's a whole lot of people practicing that religion today. We be Abraham's seed and we're never in bondage to any man. How on earth could you say to us, you shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, amen, amen, I say unto you, whosoever commits sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abides not in the house forever, but the Son abides ever. Now, when our Lord told them in verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, it upset them. They're somewhat angry at Him for making such a statement, to imply that they can't do what they want to do, you know, every day they want to do it. But this next statement is the icing on the cake. They fall apart on this one. I'm referring to verse 36. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Every poor sinner who's found a refuge in Christ and Him crucified is free indeed. Free. Free indeed. Now watch how this plays out. I know that you're Abraham's seed. That is, they're kin to Abraham. But you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak that which I've seen with my Father, and you do that which you've seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Our Lord said to them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. Abraham had some other children. We heard about them this morning in Bible class. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that has told you the truth, which I've heard of God. This did not Abraham. Now the water's beginning to boil. It's going to take it a little bit longer until it just overflows the container that it's in. Verse 41. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. The Lord Jesus said to them, now let me remind you, I can't go any further without making this statement if I don't forget it first. Modern religion has painted the Lord Jesus Christ as being a fellow that compromises. If you don't like a certain doctrine, he'll just set it aside. That's how the religious world makes its headway. It promises people. Lord, I've got the article right here in my Bible. I'll just read it to you. You need a dose of this every once in a while, and so do I. There's a church ad. All this was probably in the 80s. A little bit discolored by now. Here's the title. This is a paid advertisement in the Fayetteville Observer. Comes from one of the largest Methodist congregations in Fayetteville, but it could just as easily be a Baptist congregation. Will you come back to church if we promise not to throw the book at you? In other words, we ain't going to mention nothing out of this book unless we think you're going to like it. The truth is, they didn't like it either. So they have determined to weed out from the Bible. It's going to leave a mighty small Bible when you get through. But that's exactly what these people are saying. Here they say it in actual words. In our church, we believe in a loving and forgiving God. Well, how about a God who's sovereign and just and righteous and holy? Do you believe in Him too? Hell no. You sure don't. You can't handle such shenanigans as that and believe that you have contact with the God of heaven and earth. Come and join us this Sunday when we open up the good book in worship. Severely edited, I might add. Pardon my language. I get so upset. Just cannot stand it. Let me see. Verse 41, you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Our Savior said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. Now, in our Bibles, there are two kinds of hearing. This kind and the hearing of the soul. One is outward, the other is inward. One is carnal, the other is spiritual. Proverbs 20:12 says, the hearing ear and the seeing eye, both of them are from the Lord. And it's not talking about the physical man. It's talking about the spiritual person in Christ. Verse 44, I remind you again, if you haven't seen this already, you're going to have trouble with it. The Lord Jesus is nailing His case with more expertise than a Philadelphia lawyer. He's drawing the noose to expose to these people where they are. Verse 44. You are of your father, the devil. Now, congregations that have decided to edit the Bible, that statement has to go. You just can't leave it in there. It might offend somebody. You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. Speaking of the devil, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks it of his own. For he's a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, are you sure that's in your Bible? Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not? Which of you convinces me of sin? These are the words of our Lord. And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God hears God's words. Now who on earth are these people? He that is of God. That's the election of grace that was made in old eternity. God the Father chose a people. He gave those people to Christ. Christ is commissioned to come into this world and take on human flesh and to suffer and bleed and die in order to obtain redemption for His people. He that is of God hears God's words. You therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that you're a Samaritan? Oh, they despise these Samaritans. You can find that in John chapter 4. They're half-breeds, half-Gentile and half-Jewish. Say we not well that you're a Samaritan and have a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you do dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory. There is one that seeks and judges. Amen, amen, I say unto you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Do you know any true believers, I mean people that you truly believe knew the Lord Jesus? Did any of them die? Yes, indeed they did. So what are you going to do with this thing? I've lost my place. Craig, and I need some help. Huh? Oh, okay, 52. That's how old I am. 52. You can laugh on that, sure enough. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that you have a devil. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, they're dead. And you say, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead? And the prophets are dead. Whom make you yourself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honors me, of whom you say, you say, it ain't real, but you say, He is your God. Yet you have not known Him, but I know Him. The Lord Jesus knows Him. And if I should say I know Him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know Him and keep His sayings. There's some more coals on the fire. This pot's coming to a boil. Verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, You're not even 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? What kind of fools do you take us to be? A complete one, that's for sure. Jesus said to them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, This is going to add some more temperature to that water. Before Abraham was, I am. Now, Abraham's been, at this time, had been gone from this earth a long, long, long time. Thousands of years. And our Lord says, before Abraham was, I am. Christ is the eternal Christ. He's God. He can't be otherwise. Well, the pot boils over in verse 59. Then took they up stones to cast at Him. But Jesus, now watch this, hid Himself. And went out of the temple, going through the middle of them. That's like leaving this pulpit and going right down the main aisle. And so passed by. Oh my goodness. Goodness, goodness. If the Lord Jesus says it, put it down as gospel. If men say it, do what you please, but don't let it get in the way of believing this book. There's a lot of lying preachers in this world, thicker than fleas in most places. Well, let me try to make a point or two and I'll be finished. Continuance is the sure test of God-given faith. God's people continue to believe. Yes, it is by virtue of the grace of God, to be sure. It is by the aid and help of God the Holy Spirit. But they do continue. True believers, cannot quit the gospel. They just can't. Well, why not? Because God won't let them. If we're His, it is no temporary matter. If we belong to Him, we belong to Him forever and ever and ever. No exceptions. Not one. Not a single one. Here are three motives to continue in God's Word. If you go back to verses 31 and 32, you can use those. First of all, verse 31. Our Lord certifies that certain persons are His disciples. I quote, "Then are you my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." The second motive has to do with sacred knowledge. It's in verse 32. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now listen, "You shall know the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus shall make you free." We read in this chapter where He said, "I'm the light of the world." Well, in just a short period away from this in John, we'll find Him say that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by Him. John 14:6. Sacred knowledge. One of the motives that enable us to continue. You shall know the truth. Thirdly, in verse 32, it is spiritual liberty. The truth shall make you free. So the Lord Jesus took these seeming interested people who gathered around him on this given day. He tested them by the most effective means ever to be devised, and it is the infinite, infinite wisdom of God the Son that could make a statement like verse 32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. These believers in this 32nd verse certainly stumbled, fell in fact, by that one simple statement in that 32nd verse. The Lord Jesus puts His finger right on their pride. That is, they prided themselves beyond everything else on being descendants of Abraham. But Abraham had more than one son. One of them was named Ishmael. He didn't turn out too well. But Isaac, oh, that's a different matter. Different matter entirely. Spurgeon uses this illustration. I read his message on this part of John chapter 8. Lord, if I tried to tell you everything that's in that one sermon, we'd be here till next week. Oh, I would be here till next week. Y'all would be smart enough to go home. But he said, talking about the local merchants in London, England, he said, if he ever sees a sign, I've got it written down here someplace. Here it is. With this printed on the window, no cheating practiced here, he said he would be sure to go to somebody else's shop, not to that one. It is amazing. And if storekeepers do it, preachers ought to be shot for preaching a false gospel. If the businessman charges you $2 for what you can buy for a dollar somewhere else, you ain't lost much. But if you sit under somebody that loses your soul, that's a different ballgame. Altogether different. And while you have this fresh on your mind, I'm closing up shop right now. I hope you'll go back and look at this chapter, hopefully today, and ask yourself this honest question. Is the Christ in John 8 the one that everybody's preaching in this generation? And any sane person will tell you, no, it ain't. All they do is use His name. They make Him do and say whatever they please. He's begging for you to let Him save you. That's a lie. You take the first step and God will take the second. That's a lie. Free will religion invented all this junk. Now we're reaping the benefits, the curse of such a false gospel. All right, that's enough.